We've been talking about the presence of God. That's something that's really on my heart, and we'll be in it for the next little while here. Talking about this idea of when God shows up, what happens. And we're going to be on a journey. We're going to discover together, what's it like when God shows up? What is the presence of God? What can it do? How does it change you? Why does he show up? A lot of these things we're going to go over, but I don't want to take for granted when God shows up and you feel and you sense him, when he manifests himself in a sense of you feel his presence, you sense something. I want to continue to cultivate that. I don't want to take it for granted. Don't ever take the fact that God shows up for granted. He doesn't ever have to show up, but he shows up because he wants to. And I don't understand all of the aspects of it, and we'll go through it, but it's an amazing thing when God shows up. Last week, we talked about a number of things about the Trinity and in the Old Testament. He shows up sporadic. New Testament is continuous on the Holy Spirit's our advantage. We talked about God omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. We talked about the difference between a manifestation of his presence and a theophany of his presence, i.e. when we see him. The difference between the presence of God and spiritism, when God shows up, he's overwhelming. He shows off. We talked about a little bit how sin undermines that presence, and we'll talk more about that later. And the presence of God has been his goal from the very, very beginning. In heaven, the presence of God forever is our final goal. Last week, you know, Carter preached, and he told us that God's presence is the goodness or the secret sauce that makes everything good. God's presence. And I know Carter's probably watching online now. He went home this weekend. But I chatted with him a couple of days ago. I said, "Hey, you did a good job." And he goes, "Well, you know, I'm just learning. I'm just learning. He helped me preach. We talked about the presence brings joy. You can always get those messages online at livingfaithfellowship.com, or you can always view on our services online. Students, if you want to tell your parents, "Hey, here's what's going on," you can share all that stuff with them as well, so they know what you're kind of going through. I want to talk this morning about God's drawing presence. That God knows you. He knows you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. Every little thing about you. All the warts, all the promises, all the broken promises, all the things you said you'd do and never did, all the things that are good and bad. Everything. He knows every little thing about you that nobody else knows. And God still wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. The enemy will use it to dissuade you, but God says, "Hey, I love you in spite of all of that, warts and all. I love you, and I want you, and I want to be known by you. I know you, and I want you to know me." So let's stand and say John 6:44, our scripture this morning. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." You may be seated. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Draws him, and I'll raise him up in the last day, meaning that I'll save him. But he draws people. You see, God draws people to Jesus so that they can be saved. God draws people to Jesus so that they can be saved. You can't be saved without the Father drawing you to the Son. Let me say this to you. You didn't wake up one day and go, "You know, I want to be a Christian today. I decided I want to do that. I just figured it out myself." No, no, no. If you ever come to a decision, God drew you to that point. You didn't get there by yourself. You didn't aimlessly figure God out and, "Hey, there's a God." No. You can't. God draws you. God exposes himself to you. God moves upon you. He wants the whole world. But not everyone will respond to that drawing. But it wasn't your idea. It was God's idea. It was God's idea. You're here today because it was God's idea for you to be here. It's God's idea. He wants to grow you. He's got a plan for you. You know, and he's drawn me in my life. He drew me many times when I was younger, and many times I rebuffed all the drawing. I am so glad that he never gave up on me, though. I rebuffed him so many times. The word "draws" here, "lest the Father draws him," is a Greek word, helkuo, and it means to drag. Draw me, O Lord, draw me, I pray. I mean, let me get into this. I love this. Here's what the lexicon says about it. It says, to pull or drag, requiring force because of the inertia of the object being dragged. To pull or drag, requiring force because of the inertia of the object being dragged. You're in inertia. Sin causes you to move in a certain line. By the way, inertia. How many physics students do we have out here? None. Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm sure there's some. Oh, yeah, back there. Yes, we have some physics. So let me butcher Newton's first law of motion for you. Newton's first law of motion is inertia. Everybody say inertia. It kind of sounds fun, doesn't it? I mean, you can just drop that at a party someday. You know, I was out there and I was just an inertia. Oh, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. Inertia, a property of matter by which it continues in its existing state of rest or uniform motion unless that state is changed by an external force. Is that correct, my physics folks? Is that good? That's good? All right. It's like a satellite that orbits. It just stays in an orbit, right? There's forces working on it to bring it out of that orbit, but it stays. It stays in motion. It stays in motion. But God, where's Alex? Is Alex, is that right? Come on up here. Come on, give him a hand up here. Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
So what are you, you're a student at where?
WSU.
What are you studying?
Mechanical engineering.
All right. I was a civil engineer. I keep pulling out these engineers. This is good. All right, man. A guy after my own heart right here. Okay. Now let me describe this for you a second. So here's Alec and he's in motion. Let's say there's sin this direction and he's just walking in motion. Nothing's moving him, right? He's in motion. He's just in motion, right? So there he is. He's in motion. But God loves you so much. He loves you so much. What he does, and that's inertia, right? He just knocks you. He knocks you out of that. And then he says, what the heck you doing, Alex? Where are you going? So what I'm saying is, we're moving in direction towards sin, and God comes up and you go, what did he do to me? The most kindest thing he could ever do. You're walking and the bridge is out. You're walking to something that will kill you for the rest of your life. And God comes up and knocks you out of that. Whoa, he's got muscles. Girls, I just want you to know he's got muscles. Did you?
And smarts.
Yeah. Both. That's two. Oh, my goodness. So did you, why do you have so much muscles?
I wrestle.
You wrestle? Ooh. All right, well, in this illustration, right, you don't retaliate, all right? Don't retaliate on me here, okay? Because I may be bigger than you, but I don't think I'm stronger. Okay. But then what happens is we knock him out of, he knocks him out of his orbit. But here he is, I knock him down. Can you go on the ground there? Just go on the ground there. So I knock him down, man. But he's turned the other way, gonna go that way towards sin. Here he's knocked down, but still, push yourself towards sin. He says, he's still going. And so what God does, God, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. He drags you. He will drag you out. He drags you and says, no, we're not going there. Okay? That's his drawing power on you. And let me tell you, he did this to all of us. He drug us. Because we kept going that direction. I know I did. I kept kind of sneaking towards the direction of sin. And God comes and he starts dragging me. He'll drag you upstairs. No, and I better not do that right now. Come on up here. Come here. Give me a hug. We friends, right? All right. Come here. Hope you don't have a rug burn. Do you have a...
No, I'm not.
All right, don't sue, okay? Just don't sue.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. Thank you very much. All right. Give a hand to him. Where's Tyler? Tyler, are you here somewhere? He's here somewhere. Where are you, Tyler? Here, I forgot to give you some candy last time, so. Whoops. I guess he intercepted that. That's for you. Carter's gone, so I'll have to give it to him next week. Do you understand what God did for you? We've always looked at the word draw as, oh, just draw me, Lord. He goes, okay, and knocks you off and then starts dragging you. It means to drag, to knock you out of the inertia of the direction that you're going. God steps in and counters the inertia that has us going in sin's direction, in sin's orbit, and moves us toward Him. And I'll tell you what, you need to thank God for that. I don't know anybody who is walking this way and a bus starts to come and somebody knocks them to the ground. You don't get up and go, "Will you jerk?" You get up and go, "Thank you for saving my life." When God jolts you, knocks you, and does something, you're going, "Why is it? He's saving your life. Your eternal life. He's saving it. He's saving it." Something has to pull you out of the orbit of yourself. A derivation of this word draws is the other part that we kind of like. And it means to take for oneself, i.e. to prefer. You need to understand that God prefers you. Prefers you. All warts and all, everything you've done, all the bads, but I prefer you. I want you. But Lord, you don't, no, I want you. I want you. I want you. But Lord, I'm ashamed of what I know. And I want you. 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 We think God doesn't want me. I'm such a disappointment to Him. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to repeat every single day. Because if you keep seeing yourself as a screw up and a disappointment to God, you'll walk away from God because surely He doesn't want me. And the devil is just laughing all the way. You need to realize no matter how many times you screw up, God still loves you. He still wants you. He still has purpose for you. Destiny, divine intervention, He will do. He will touch you. He will transform you. He will change you. But God prefers you so much that He tries to knock you out of your sin orbit. I prefer you. You're going the wrong way. You're being misled. You're following a lie. Then, as He knocks you out of the orbit, God looks for our response. Thank you, Lord, for drawing me. Thank you, Lord, for drawing me. God drug me out of sin. God drug me out of sin. I used to tell people I had a drug problem growing up. My mom drugged me to church all the time, so I was my drug problem then. And other little things. But God will drag you right out of sin if you let Him. We think the word draw is just nice and wonderful and a nice word. And it can be. But it also can be quite a jolt. Quite a whoa, whoa. And let me give you an example, because that jolt is a kindness. That jolt is a kindness. When Paul got saved, God knocked him to the ground and blinded him. There was a jolt. Bam. Let's read the story in Acts 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Remember Saul, who becomes Paul, as he's living his life, what he's doing is he's dragging people to jail. He's murdering Christians. He's murdering Christians. Those that are following Jesus Christ, he's a strong Jewish believer who doesn't believe in Christ. And now he's thinking that's anathema to his Jewish faith. Therefore, he's killing all of those who are Christians. Against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that's kind of what they call the first church. They call it the way. The first Christians, I should say, were called the way. referring to Christianity as a different way of life. It's a different way to live. These guys are living a different way. They're the way. So that's why they called him that. Whether men or women, he didn't care who they were, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. It's where we get the expression, hey, he saw the light. I saw the light right here. So many of those are from the scripture. He saw the light. The word suddenly here means unexpectedly. It's a Greek word that means unexpectedly. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, when God jolts you out of sin sometimes, it's like, I wasn't expecting that. But he did it. Wow, what happened here? You see, suddenly God did something unexpectedly. God loves doing stuff unexpectedly. He loves it when you go, I wasn't expecting that. And he goes, I was expecting it. I've been working on this thing for about 24 years in your life to get you to this point. Do you understand that God is working on you? He's got destiny, vision, and plans, and he's trying to get you to fulfill that particular plan. So he's working on you from everything, and we keep thinking, oh, this has happened, and that happened, and this was bad, and this was this, and that was that. And God's going, no, I'm using all of that to get you right here, because then I need you to do that. And then as you do that, and that, and that, and this all happens, and okay, now I need you to do this. He's working on you. Nothing's happenstance. God's got plan, vision, destiny for you. He prefers you. He wants you. So much. Suddenly. The word light here. Joe knows the word light, right? He named his company after it. It's the word phos. To shine or make manifest. Luminous. That's where you'll get Phos Painting Company, right? To shine. The word heaven here. Uranos. It's the sky. It can refer to the sky, up in the sky, but it also talks about the abode of God. Heaven as the abode of God. And as I look at this scripture here, and I think about this light coming down out of heaven, this light coming down out of heaven. In John, 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. He's phos. And in him is no darkness at all. You see, I believe God manifested himself in a theophany. It wasn't just a feeling he felt. He saw something. He saw God as light that touched him, knocked him to the ground unexpectedly, pushed him to the ground. Then Paul fell to the ground and heard a voice. He heard a voice. I kind of like this because when he said he saw the light, then he heard a voice. It's kind of like lightning, right? You see the light and then, oh yeah. That's kind of sometimes that happens to us with us as Christians. God shows us the way and the light, and then it's like God's going, okay, they finally got it. All right. We see the light, and then he heard the voice. In life, we see all things happening. We see so many things happening. And let me say this. We see. Don't get discouraged because you need to hear his voice. What's he saying about what's happening? He knows what's happening out there in the world. What's he saying about it? Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying, Lord? I'm not getting upset. I'm not getting too excited. I want to know, what is God saying about that? Then Paul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Jesus speaks to him, Saul, Saul. So not only did he have this theophany, he saw the light. Now he's hearing the voice. And it wasn't just, I don't think, in his heart. It was, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The word persecuting means subject someone to hostility or ill treatment, to harass or annoy someone persistently. Why are you doing this to me, Saul? Why are you taking all my, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? Now, it's very interesting. I think there's two ways he could say this. I think Paul, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Or, "Who are you, Lord?" It's interesting because this word Lord, kurios, it means supremacy, supreme in authority, a controller. It can mean a respectful title like Mr. But in a lot of cases, it's a title for God and for Christ, one who exercises supernatural authority over mankind. Some people translate it as the L, capital O, capital R, capital D of the Old Testament, which was Yahweh or Jehovah, is kind of the New Testament name. So I think that Paul knew exactly who it was speaking to him. I think he knew exactly who was speaking to him. It wasn't like, "Hey, what's happening? What's happening?" It was, "Who are you, Lord?" Lord, I think there was something inside of him. He knew exactly who it was. It was the Lord. Just like us, when the Lord, hear me, when the Lord starts drawing you, you kind of know it's him. And this happened. Oh, that's kind of, and then this happened over here. That's kind of funny how that, how things start. Well, you know, that kind of, well, that, and then you get, you know. I'm saying we all kind of know God's drawing me. God's doing something. God's orchestrating things. God's putting things in order. He's putting things in line. God's doing something. You kind of know that it's him, but you don't want to, because then I have to do something. So I just kind of always hold back a little bit. Then the Lord, Kyrios, said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." He says it the second time. And then he says this, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Notice he says, it's not hard for me. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. The word kick here, lactidzo, it means heel-wise, to recalcitrate. You know, when you haven't had enough calcitrate, then you have to recalcitrate. Have you done that? You're saying, "Hey, man, I think my calcitrate's low. I need to recalcitrate today." Well, let me tell you what the word recalcitrate means. It means to resist or oppose, showing strong objection or repugnance. And repugnance means intense disgust. To resist or oppose, showing strong objection or disgust. It's hard for you, Paul, when you kick against the goats, when you have so much disgust against me. You're trying to resist. You're trying to oppose. The word goads or goad, it's kentron, and it means to prick, a point, or a sting. If you look at what a goad is, it's a pointed stick used in driving draft animals. And I think we have a picture up here. You can see the point on it. What you do is if you were back there and animals weren't going, you just give them a little poke. Oop, ow! They keep moving forward, right? And he's saying, it's not me doing that. It's you doing that. It's hard for you to kick against, "Hey, I'm trying to point you in the right direction," and you're, he's going, "Doesn't that hurt? Ow! Ow!" It's very interesting. To kick against the goad is an idiom. It means to hurt oneself by active resistance. To react against authority in such a way as to cause harm or suffering to oneself. It means to hurt oneself by reacting against a person or a command. He's saying, it's hard for you, Paul, when you resist me. Saul, why are you persecuting me? You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself by your resistance. You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself by your resistance. You see, when you resist God, you're only hurting yourself. You keep going, oh, but Lord, no. If I resist him, you know, if I go my own way, I'll get more pleasure. I'll get more stuff. I'll get more of this. You know, God kind of just, he's kind of old fashioned on the pleasure thing. You know, even the last time we talked about in his presence, there's fullness of joy. There's pleasures evermore there. But we think somehow he's going to cool our parade here. But when you realize that, and you go your own way, you're only hurting yourself. And this idea that, oh, if I get it, my life will be better. It'll be wonderful. I just need it. And we go against God. Let me tell you what, that's just the recipe for addiction. It's a person thinking, no, if I just got that, if I could have that, if I have that, I'm going to go against God. If I could have all that, you know, all of a sudden everything goes, no, you're just hurting yourself. We don't know that until all of a sudden it's too late and we're in bondage to something. Thinking we can get more. If I just lead my life, you'll only be hurting yourself. Verse 8 or 6. So he, trembling and astonished. Now remember, he's been knocked to the ground. He's seen the light. He's heard Jesus speaking to him, tell him it's hard for you to do all of this stuff. How do you think Paul's doing right now? Cool, dude. This is fun. It says, so he, trembling and astonished. And let me say, both of these are usually the response to the presence of God. The word trembling means tremo. It means to dread, terrify, to fear. It's very interesting. When there's a lot of theophanies that happen throughout Scripture, you know the first thing that's said to them? Fear not. Okay. I'll tell you what, if Jesus Christ manifested himself right here, just boom, out of thin air, boom, and was there with fire in his eyes and just, you know, I don't think we'd all be going, hey, cool, this is neat. I think we'd all hit the ground and go, uh-oh, I need to examine my life. And we'd start repenting right there. There's a little bit of fear and awesomeness when we encounter that which is totally holy, because I'm not. I'll tell you, if he showed up right here, first thing I'd do, I would hit the ground solo, as a sign of respect and reverence for him who's done everything. Astonished. The word astonished here, thambeo, it means to stupefy. I know that would help you. With surprise. Be astounded. To stupefy. Here's the word stupefy defined. I love this definition. Stupefy, here's what it means out of the dictionary. To make someone unable to think or feel properly. God shows up, astonish and shock. It means to make stupid, groggy, or insensible. I'll tell you what, God shows up, you're kind of going, I think it would just, what it's saying is it so takes you. Have you ever been in a really kind of a traumatic thing and you just kind of lose sense of time and energy and everything? I'm not talking about it in a bad sense. I'm talking about God showing up. You just, we're just unable to think. We're just in his presence. It's crazy. So he's trembling and astonished at this theophany, at the presence of God. And he said, Lord, Kurios. Say it with me. Say it one more time. It's exactly what he wants to get every Christian. When you have this encounter, when the Lord draws you, this is what he's after. Lord, what do you want me to do? I surrender. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. I'm in your presence. You've got my attention. You've jolted me. You've dragged me. You've drawn me by dragging me and jolting me and all of those things. I know you prefer me. And when he finally came to his senses after all of this, he knew exactly where he should say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm willing to change everything for you. I'm willing to change everything in my life for you. Amen. Saul's blinded for 3 days. He goes to a street. You know the name of the street that he goes to? It's called Straight Street. Do you know why he went to Straight Street? So God could straighten him out, right? I just think it's ironic, some of the things that God does in the Bible. The word straight street here means straight, level, true. He was trying to show him that which is true. You've been living with so many lies, doing things for the wrong reasons. You don't understand me and my way, which is true. And I'm going to speak to you those things, and I'm going to show you who I am and how to react to all of life's events through my filter, not yours. You're going to see me in a whole different way. He took him to Straight Street. Ananias prays for him. He gets baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a great advantage. He became a force for Jesus. Instead of murdering people, he's saving people. The same people, oh, you're a Christian? Going to murder you? Oh, you're not a Christian? I want to save you. What a dramatic, that's 180 turn. That's what he does in a life. That's when God's presence shows up and he jolts you and he moves on you. He does something powerful in your life. Lord, what do you want me to do? Man. And he writes, he says, well, I'd like you to write 3/4 of the New Testament. Okay, sure. I'll do that. I'll write it. I'm not a good writer. I ain't not good in English. Wow. Then the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city and you will be told what you must do. I think it's interesting that when we come to Christ, when we come to Christ for salvation, it's because the Father draws us. In some cases, it's jolting. It's jolting because he knocks you out of your sin orbit. Sometimes it's just you loving because somehow it's just he prefers you and you see that and you respond easily. I was a fighter, so it took a little more for me. He's drawing you. And we get to the point of, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But I think there's another aspect of the drawing of the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, I want you to know today he's drawing you. He's drawing you. You know it right now. You know it. You sense him. You feel him. Quit fighting. Come up here. Give your life to the Lord and let's get going. Don't stop. You need to recommit your life. Do that at the end. But there's another aspect to those that are walking with the Lord. He also draws you. He draws you to something deeper in him. And you know, sometimes he jolts you into something deeper. When I was thinking about this, I was talking with Amir and we were chatting and I said, you know, when I came, I got saved and he jolted me out of sin. But then when he, so to speak, called me in the ministry, I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to be a civil engineer and I didn't want to do that. And all of a sudden, bam, he literally jolted me out of the way I was walking, which was not a one of them. It was fine. And let me say this. I'm not saying that everybody has the same story. You, where you're at, because that's where God's got you. You walk there. But for me, bam, he knocked me out of that, put me into the ministry, and I'm dragging. I mean, he literally is dragging me, and I'm just kicking my feet, and I'm going, Lord, yes, I'm just submitting because I know I'm supposed to, but I'm not liking this. I'm not liking this. At first, I didn't want to. I didn't want to. I was kicking as he was dragging me. But now I feel honored by what he's done. I never would have dreamed that I'd be able to sit up here, stand up here. and drag people across the floor. I'm just so honored. And Amir, we knew that God had a call on Amir. Where are you, Amir? I'm pointing, but I don't know where you are. Oh, go there. We knew God had a call in his life. Here he is, strength and conditioning coach, making buku bucks. And we said, hey, listen, we got a great deal. We'll pay you a lot less. He goes, a lot less? I don't want just a little less. I want a lot less. We can pay a lot less. Okay, I'm listening. Listening. But he knew that God also jolted him out because of the circumstance that happened when the coach left and he was figuring out where he's going to go and all that. And then I offered him this deal he couldn't, I made an offer he couldn't refuse. But there was a jolt. Sometimes when you feel jolted, don't get mad at God. He's doing something. He's doing something. He's doing something. He's always doing something. He just wants you to get to the point where when he jolted Amir, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to take that generous offer from Pastor Phil. I'm just saying, God draws us because he prefers you. He has destiny. He has plans. He has so much in store for you. It is so wonderful. Quit fighting. Quit resisting. Quit kicking against the goad. You're only hurting yourself. Let go and let God. God, what do you want me to do? And watch what he does. It will amaze you. You see, God won't drag you to heaven, but he will drag you out of sin and then ask, where do you want to go from here? I'll drag you out of sin. Where do you want to go from here? God won't force you. God won't make you. God gives you free will. It's your choice. But what he's hoping you do is that you draw near to him. Do you respond to his drawing? By drawing closer and closer to him. James 4, 7 and 8. God looks to see if you want to draw near to him. I've pushed you out of sin. I've jolted you out. I've drawn you out of this. Draw near to me. It says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You see, it's funny because this whole thing starts that God draws us. We get drawn. Yeah. He jolts us, boom, knocks us down, drags us. All of a sudden, we come to him. And then all of a sudden, our response to him is, oh my gosh, Lord, I love you. We draw near to him. And then it says, as we draw near to him, then God draws near to us. And as God draws near to us, we go, oh my God, we draw near to him. And then God draws closer to us, and we draw closer to him. And you understand your walk in relationship with the Lord is just continues to go like this and this and this and this. Why do people who've been walking with the Lord for 40 years feel like, I don't have it all yet. There's more, there's more, there's more. You will never be there on this earth. There's more that he's got for you and more that he's got for you. He's drawing you. He's drawing you. Are you drawing near to him? Are you drawing near to him? He has so much he wants to do. It don't ever stop. Oh God, draw me. I want to draw near to you. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what he does when he draws us. And he says, now that you're cleaned up and all that, draw near to me. That word draw near here means to come near, to visit, to worship, to assent to. The lexicon says it this way on this word. To move toward a reference point with the possible implications of certain context of reciprocal relationship. I'm coming. Are you going to keep coming? The whole idea of this drawing is this idea of reciprocal relationship between the person approaching and the one who is approached. God wants to do something. He's drawing us. His presence draws us. He's drawing us. He's drawing you. He's drawing you to a deeper walk with him even today. He just says, hey, just respond. Just one teeny step closer. Just one teeny step closer. God will take a step. Just another teeny, teeny step. In Hebrews, now the just shall live by faith. Hear this. But if anyone draws back, now we gotta, whoa, wait a second. We're supposed to draw near. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It doesn't mean that God hates your guts and all that. He's just going, shucks, man. Doesn't mean that you're a reprobate and he can't stand you anymore. No, no. He'll still be drawing. But can you imagine? He gets out there. He's looking for you and he just, man. Just run. Just, hey. I just didn't get delighted. I was just thinking if you were there and I talked to you, I'd just be so delighted that you loved me and you came in and you worshiped me. And I just, but you drew back and you just, I don't know. Your friends don't know. No, that's not the way to, I know your friends all say that, but that's not, no. But turn around and just draw near. Watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. Draws back. This word means hoopostello. It means to withhold under, to cower, to shrink, to conceal, reserve, to shun, withdraw. The lexicon says this of this word. To cease doing something of presumed positive value because of adverse circumstances or fear. You know that I've seen this, people quit on God. They just quit because sometimes they're just mad at him. My mom, she had cancer and I prayed the Lord and the Lord took her. I'm mad at God. Or, you know, I've been praying for this, that, and the other, and I really asked God, and I put everything on it like that, and he didn't come through me. I'm just mad at him, and I just want to quit. You got to understand, God has a bigger picture. His picture's so big that if you could get to heaven, and he could show you all the stuff that he was doing, if you could see it from his perspective, he was going, okay, see what's going to happen here? See that? See that? See how this all lines up because of that? Would you like all that to happen? Well, yeah, I would. Well, then that has to happen. Okay, well, now that I see it from here, good job, God, good job. You're doing good. I think you're really good at your job. I mean, that's where trust comes in. That's where I trust you. I don't understand, but I trust you. And then all of a sudden we see God work it out. Don't quit on God. Don't give up on God. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. If you've quit, turn around and come back. You say, Lord, I'm sorry I quit. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. Lord, I'm coming back. Don't quit, because when you draw back, you lose momentum. I think about it from in football. If I play defensive end, when you play defensive end, you come in and you're rushing on the tackle. And the tackle, he cheats and takes about 5 feet off the line. Some of these football players know, right? I mean, he's cheating back here because the defensive end's there. And so he gets way back. You know, you're not supposed to be back that far, but they cheat. Okay, the offense. And so right there, and all of a sudden the defensive guy comes, and you have to backpedal in order to get him. But there's an interesting thing called a bull rush. Watch what happens when you start backpedaling on a bull rush. Go ahead. Boom. Watch the tackles. Watch the tackles, what happens to him. I'm going backwards, I'm going backwards, I'm going backwards. I'm on skates. I'm on roller skates. I like the music too. It sounds like, wow, I'm good. I'm gonna get you. Yes, I am. I'm gonna sack you, you slow man. All right, I think we're good right there. I think we get the picture. When we step back, and then all of a sudden the enemy starts bull rushing us, and we're like on skates. Have you ever felt that you take a step back and then all your friends kind of just push you forward in a direction you probably shouldn't have gone, but you're kind of backpedaling there. And when you start backpedaling, all of a sudden you're just on skates and you're going the wrong direction. God says, hey, I got something better for you. Let's pray. Lord, you're amazing. You're so good. I'm so thankful all the times I quit, gave up. You just kept drawing. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful. I pray for us today, Lord, those that don't know you, that they realize that you're drawing them because you prefer them, because you love them, regardless of where they're at, what they've done. And that, Lord, you'd move on their hearts in such a way that you'd bring them forward so that they get saved. Lord, also, I know that all of us who are following hard after you, you're still drawing us. You've got destiny, purpose in front of us. You just want to hear, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then the adventure begins. Because what you call us to do, you give us all the gifts, the strength, the power, and the enabling to do it. And the miracles just follow. Because it's your idea, Lord. Help us all not to resist your drawing. Help us to just, here we are. What do you want us to do? We serve at the pleasure of the King. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to go after you with everything I got. For your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want you to know, I just love you guys so much. But not as much as God does. And he has such destiny for you. And my heart is to just keep encouraging you in the things of God. That you will fulfill the destiny he's put out in front of you. Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. Love you guys.